Well, in February last year, I went on a big adventure, and my partner in crime was Richard, who's come to hear my sermon this morning. And we went to a part of the world that's not often visited by many people. It's actually the largest desert in the world. Any ideas where that might be? We'll discount Susan then. Do you all know where I went? I went to Antarctica. It's the largest desert in the world. And it was quite a complicated and long way to get there. We had to fly Auckland to Buenos Aires, and then we took a charter flight down to a little tiny place called Ushuaia, where Will was being. And then it was 3 days across a very rough sea on our cruise ship to get down to Antarctica. And when we were there, we spent 4 days there, which was an interesting experience. I have to say that deserts are cold. Well, this particular desert was very cold and inhospitable. And so what did we see when we were down there? We saw a lot of penguins, thousands of penguins, and thousands of whales. And it was got quite exciting actually going down there, because on the way there was actually a competition on the boat who could spot the first iceberg. And I was convinced that Richard had won that competition, except it had been seen in the middle of the night. So no, we did not win the competition for spotting the first iceberg. But we certainly saw our fair share of penguins, whales, and seals. And I had a lot of time thinking when I was down there, where was God in all of this? Because it was so very, very cold and harsh and inhospitable. I did wonder, where could I see God in all of this part of his creation? And I came into the conclusion in the end that God was there in the form of, you could see the hand of creation, in the form of these animals. And it's actually very clever, the adaptations that those animals have for living in such a cold climate. For example, did you know that penguins have a special blood supply to their feet? That means that their feet won't freeze. I thought that was pretty clever. So the animals have adapted to the cold. They also have an extra layer of fat and waterproof feathers to keep them warm. In a good way, I thought maybe the cold, the extreme cold and lack of rainfall, keeps people away from destroying that part of creation. The environment is unspoilt, and they're determined to keep it that way. But it's still not a place I would want to spend a lot of time in. So today we heard about Jesus spending 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, or another word for the wilderness is a desert. It seems to be a long time to spend in such a harsh environment. The desert that Jesus was in, as the desert that we were in, is an isolated and dangerous place. And it's hard to imagine what Jesus would have had any desire to go there. So why did he go? What's going on? Our gospel today was Luke 4. In the previous chapter, Luke 3, we read of the baptism of Jesus by John, and that God proclaims him to be his son. This is my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. It's a powerful scene with Jesus the Son present, and also the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove that descends on him. And then the voice from heaven, the voice of God. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. We hear in the following verse that Jesus is about 30 when this happens. So this is right at the start of his ministry, which will lead him to the cross in a few short years' time. We heard in today's gospel that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit after his baptism, and that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So there is the answer. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So the first test we hear about is, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Very tempting, I would imagine, after 40 days. But Jesus knows he has just been declared as the Son of God before entering the wilderness, and he is able to answer, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. This scripture that Jesus quotes is from Deuteronomy. The second test we hear about is to do with power and authority. If you worship me, it will all be yours, the devil says, as he shows him from a high place all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus answers him again with a verse from scripture, again from Deuteronomy. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The third and final test that we hear about concerns guardian angels. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, there's that challenge again, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So the devil also knows the scriptures, because that verse about guardian angels is what we read in the psalm today. Psalm 91. Again, Jesus has an answer for him, and he says, it is written, do not put your God to the test, which is also from Deuteronomy. Each and every time the devil tests him, Jesus is ready with a scripture to swipe him away. Jesus knew his scriptures well, and he was steadfast in his mission to resist every temptation that was put to him. Why was Jesus put to the test? Because he needed to be ready and equipped for the mission he was about to embark on. This was all part of the training and strengthening of Jesus' resolve to be able to do battle against evil in the world. God has always led his people into the desert for this spiritual training, for people to learn to put their trust in him. Just think about the Israelites 40 years. So what can we do between now and Easter to strengthen our relationships with God, to strengthen our resolve, so that we are better prepared for our mission in the world? Spending quality time with God and with each other can only improve our relationships. I'm sure you know already what to do in your own daily lives. Traditionally, Lent, which is the period we're now in, is a time for giving, fasting, and praying. But we also have a few things going on at St. Luke's that you might want to take part in. Some of you would have come on Ash Wednesday to be ashed. We can all meet again every Sunday, of course, but also Maundy Thursday and Good Friday for the services that are to be held here. Joining one of the Lenten study groups is another way we can help each other on this journey towards Easter. Last Thursday, the Thursday morning group met for the first time for this study. The study is called Restoring the Story, The Good News of Atonement, and it's been written by Reverend Dr. Anne Van Gerd. In the first session, we had to describe a family member to the group, someone the others would not know very well. And we learnt that facts about people don't help us to understand someone as well as a story can. So it is unsurprising that the Bible is crammed full of stories as we get to know these people. We examined, this is in our study group, we examined the bad news that people are experiencing in our world today and wondered what, as Christians, we can offer in the form of good news. I'll only tell you one answer for now because the other group is yet to meet. We won't spoil it for you. So the one answer, the very first answer that shot out of somebody's mouth was love. Love. That is what we as Christians can offer the world in response to the bad news stories that we're hearing. So we also discussed, how would you tell somebody about Jesus? What stories from the Bible would you tell in order to illustrate to somebody what Jesus is like? We look forward to learning more about atonement and how it relates to the modern world we live in. I also read in the St. Luke's News this week that there is to be a weekly Lenten prayer meeting organised by Shirley Falloon. It'll be starting later this month. That might be something you'd like to be involved in. So there is plenty going on for us to get involved this Lent. Spending quality time together increases the love we have for each other. It's one of the five love languages. And of course, just a little reminder here, every Sunday between now and Easter continues to be a mini celebration of Easter. So there's no fasting on Sundays, the Lord's Day. Today we will meet at the table to feast on the bread and the wine and to be spiritually nourished for our journey. So let us go willingly into the desert this Lent.